The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Claire Daly, the former MEP, is hoping to be a TD again. She is running under the Independence for Change banner in the Dublin Central constituency. We spoke to her a little bit earlier. Gary Gannon is with me in studio. He is a sitting TD for that constituency for the Social Democrats. Gary, it's becoming a more crowded field. Kevin Sharkey as well has announced he's running today, the artist.
You just
former presidential candidate.
I didn't know that. You just told me about Kevin Sharkey. What I will say is Dublin Central is never not an interesting place. I think you can get that from the amount of times I'm in here talking about Dublin and the area that I live in. I think it's brilliant. I think the democratic process means people should be able to put their name in the ballot paper, and if you're good enough for your job, the people will seek you there.
A few big beasts in that constituency. So Claire Daly's take was that Pascal Donoghue and Mary Lou MacDonald will be fine. And I guess the implication was it's your seat or Nessa Harrigan's seat that she's eyeing up.
It's the people seek her on, but more than that, like you do the work. I mean, you get the rewards from it, and that's just what it is. Look, what I know is in terms of Dublin Central, I've been on the ground and doing the work for the best part of 10 years. I've been elected there. This will be my fifth time running in the Dublin Central constituents between local and national. And look, just today, I mean, I could talk to you about the number 11 bus route that we're trying to get saved for Drumcondra. I can talk to you about the security cameras we're trying to have instilled down in Fisborough, the community garden down in East Wall. And then I can also talk to you about the national issues we're doing. Look, to be elected in the constituency, you're going to be required to put the work in. So I'm very confident that's been reflected by the doors that we're knocking at, the reception that we're getting. So send all the big beasts that is all ready for it.
So listen, this constituency is an interesting one, I think, for everybody because it's you know, slap bang in the middle of our capital city, and a capital city that's had a huge amount of focus over the last year since the riots last November, and we've had recruitment drives for the Gardaí and everything in the time since, and of course that recommendation of 1,000 guards as well in the task force report published earlier this week. You've got figures on the response to that recruitment drive.
Yeah, so there was a big recruitment drive earlier on in the year to bring more Gardaí into the force because obviously our numbers are dropping and we need more. So in terms of the recruitment drive that's happened, and I also want to put context to the reason why we put them out when we did, of that recruitment drive, there is only two Gardaí who have progressed on into the training stage. Now, that's important because this week, the Taoiseach and four or five other ministers, male ministers, assembled in the GPO and gave this big plan for Dublin. And one of the suggestions was that we're going to have 1,000 Gardaí. I'd love it, not only in the country, but 1,000 Gardaí in the city centre. So what we were highlighting is, that's a great idea. Well, do you have a plan to back it up? Because the figures that we have very clearly demonstrate of the intake that came this year, only two have progressed on to a particular stage now where they're actually in training. There are another 600 or so in the vetting stage. But I mean, that's a slow process.
So is the issue here a lack of response, or just that the time from kind of response to guards on the street is too slow? Because I think there's another 600 or so in the application stage. So that's kind of 1,200... in train, but in train doesn't mean on the ground.
It certainly doesn't, and it also doesn't mean that that train is going to come to its final destination. I think we've seen that reflected in the amount of guards who have put themselves up and said, look, people like to go through it, they haven't qualified to the vetting stage. We also had a farcical situation earlier this year where some guards are being excluded because of having tattoos on their arms and other issues, and then the amount of guards that would say, oh, I'd love to do that job, and then find out there's no way they'd actually be able to do that job and be able to afford to rent or have any sort of quality of life, such as the level of pay and the cost of living in this country. So I want more guards. I think guards do an important job in the city centre. I just don't want the city centre being used as a backdrop of a publicity stunt without any substance, which is why we put those figures into the domain.
How do we recruit more guards?
Pay them better. Listen to them. One of the reasons why people who I've known who would have signed up in their 20s have left by their 30s is because the morale in the force is so low and pay is not equitable in terms of paying your rent. But also a scenario where like morale in the guards is on the floor at the moment. That was reflected in some of the confidence motions you would have seen against the commissioner, for example. And I think that can be there's ebbs and flows to that. But when you have a justice minister that simply says, well, so what, and we're going to keep going and as we're going, that impacts the confidence of the Gardaí. The fact that you have Gardaí in police stations that don't have access to computers, the fact that they're being abused on the street by far-right thugs and no ramifications seem to be coming from it. If you want guards to police us, we also have to look after the people that we asked to do an important job.
Stephen Moore is with us as well. He's the founder of Out of the Blue Training, a former guard as well, who's been on the show with us before. Stephen, it's good to talk to you. What in your mind would increase that number of Gardaí looking to join the force in the back of recruitment drives?
Hiya, Kieran. Yeah, there's a number of issues, and you know, what Gary touched on there, I have to agree with every point that he makes. Like, for me, the best recruiters of an Garda Síochána have always been the guards themselves. So if somebody's son or daughter is joining the guards, they go over to a neighbour or to a friend or to a colleague, you know, and discuss it with them. And the individual gets to ask the guard, what's the job like? You know, is it a job that you think I'm suited to? Is it a job that you'd recommend? And quite frankly, at the moment, there's very few guards recommending a job in the guards to people when they're asked. And the issues kind of surrounding that is you don't have the people, you know, looking to join on Garda Síochána because the guards themselves, as Gary touched on, within on Garda Síochána, they don't feel valued. And that's a major issue. There's like issues, you know, within the guards, with guards kind of, you know, not feeling valued, not having a work-life balance. And it's kind of coming to the fore over the last, say, 5 or so years. Say back when, Kieran, when I joined 20 years ago, you know, there was guards involved in different sports, different community functions, you know, within where they lived, and they were part of that community.
And sorry, Stephen, to cut across you, has that changed? Has morale dropped because there's fewer Gardaí now with the growing population and that members feel stretched, or is it that the nature of the job has changed, or what's been asked of the Gardaí has changed?
Well, I think, and we've touched on it before, like the new systems that they brought into an Garda Síochána, where you'd have a guard who wants to be out there in the community policing, where they're sitting behind a desk 4, 5, 6 hours, completing forms, you know, ticking T's and dotting I's. You know, that hasn't helped the situation. So a guard's workload has just increased in the last number of years. Like, I speak to guards on a daily basis, guards who are looking to leave an Garda Síochána. And it actually saddens me, being a proud ex-member, you know, of the force. But there's so many people looking to leave. And, you know, the reason for that is burnout, stress, not having any flexibility in relation to, you know, circumstances where we all go through sick parents, sick children, the likes of that, and having no flexibility to maybe, you know, come in late, come in early, and those circumstances or work closer to home. So I actually deal with guards who really are proud members of Garda Síochána, but they feel like they're being forced out of the force because there's no empathetic understanding, there's no flexibility when it comes to those certain stages in life that we all have to cope with in relation to sick parents or sick children and things like that.
Gary, I mean, if the government were to increase pay and kind of increase the resources available to Gardaí and change work practices and do all of those things, they are caught in terms of labour force constraints, aren't they? I mean, you speak to kind of teachers' unions, you speak to the nursing unions, you speak to them all, and they all say the same thing: we need more staff. They don't exist.
There's also those public service pay agreements, and we can't step away from that either. But there's also look in terms of what people actually need when they're in a particular job, yeah, like affordable housing, for example. I mean, one of the other suggestions in that task force would be a grant for guards or frontline teachers to live on O'Connell Street, and it's like, fine, but also, you know, it would be great, build affordable housing, all those kind of mammoth
buildings.
Yeah,
and I appreciate that, but I mean, I guess my point was about the fact that we're at full employment and sure, the population continues to grow, and I just wonder how you circle that square when you look into the future. How are we going to recruit more Gardaí, more nurses, more doctors, more tradesmen, more teachers and all of that when we're not training enough to fill all the spaces that we need?
Not training enough quickly, but it's also not only about recruitment, it's about retention. We lost 164 guards last year. We've lost 100 plus up to August this year. We're probably going to exceed that figure. So in addition to recruitment, these guards are going through the process at the moment. They're in the process now months upon months upon months, but there's also guards leaving. What's making them leave? Cost of living in this city, cost of living in this country. There are things that the government can actually do, look at the factors around it, but also address morale in the force. I mean, morale in the force is depleted. It's going down. As Stephen just said, they're the best recruiters of those already in a job. And I don't know too many people are telling their friends to leave their jobs to come into the Gardaí at the moment.
Gary Gannon, Social Democrat TD for Dublin Central, crowded constituency. Stephen Moore, founder of Out of the Blue Training. Gary and Stephen, thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.